Warning, because of the extreme content in this podcast, it is not appropriate for children. It contains depictions of violence, language, and disturbing subject matter. It is recommended strictly for adult audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
My name is Joey Siaglia, and I am so excited to welcome you back for Season 5. Have you ever had a conversation with a serial killer and lived to tell about it? My brother, Tony Siaglia, a traumatic brain injury survivor, and the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, has spoken for hundreds of hours with some of the world's worst serial killers. These conversations will bring you as close to a serial killer as you'd ever want to be. This season, Tony, along with our father and co-host, Al Siaglia, will share their complete investigation of Joseph Roy Matheny, one of the most depraved criminals that has ever dealt with. Through rare phone conversations, letters, and visits, you will hear a story so evil that even Hollywood couldn't make it up. Matheny is a serial killer that enjoys torturing his victims before he kills them. Admittedly, he loves having sex with their corpses. Joe Matheny also bragged about having a barbecue stand and adding parts of his victims' flesh to the pork sandwiches. The question with us has always been, is this bullshit or is this true? Tony and Al decided to visit the monster in prison and ask him face to face this question. Are you truly a cannibal creator? This is his story, and this is Murder Phone.
She laid screaming in the grass where I placed her that night. The moon beams washed over her bloody body and glistened oh so bright. Her screams of pain slowly dwindled down to mere gasps of agonizing grunts and groans. Her eyes slowly closed, and the sound she made slowly faded away, never to be heard again. Sweet death has finally come down upon her. Now her body was just a dead carcass, lying in wait for the decomposition to start the breaking down and the maggots to start devouring their beloved meal. Oh, what a waste of all that good meat, only ending up to be nothing more than bug and worm food. It was not for another two bodies later that I would learn of the sweet taste of human flesh. And one more after that before I realized I could make sandwiches to feed hungry, hard-working people who would pay dearly for one of my delicious open pit beef and pork sandwiches. The sweet drug-addicted prostitutes that I killed back in my past were pretty much dead to the world long before I killed them. They were nothing more than walking zombies, looking for a few moments of pleasure from their sick, twisted, daily lives of shame. Signed, Joseph Roy Matheny, a.k.a. Tiny. Now, that's not a Stephen King. That's not Stephen King, ladies and gentlemen. That's a true encounter from a real-life monster.
Did you really grind up flesh and serve it with the sandwiches like you wrote to me?
Yes, I did. I had real pork, I had real beef. You had the human body tastes exactly like we were exactly identical to pork.
Okay. So it worked out okay?
Oh, dang, they were buying my sandwiches on a regular.
Hey, you murder phoniacs. That was pretty good.
I liked it.
Thank you. This is your host, Tony Siaglia, the serial killer whisperer. And that opening letter was written by the cannibal creator himself, explaining how he got the idea to use his victim's flesh in his sandwiches. The phone call you heard was Joe's response when I asked him if he really served human flesh on his sandwiches. Many think he's full of shit, including his cousin. Today, yes, today, we will find out if this disgusting fat fucking scumbag is lying or not. Everybody, it's time for that moment. This is my co-host, without his red cape on today. Doesn't matter, though. Red cape or not, he's still sexy as ever, ladies and gentlemen. My dad, the fucking Coxman.
Thank you, Tone.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right? It just came out. I don't even know where that came from.
The king.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like him. You do.
You're good.
I feel a little naked today.
You do?
Without my cape. I had that cape, man, and, you know, I feel like I lost my mojo.
Mojo, baby. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I make you randy?
Holy shit.
How was that?
That's pretty good.
You like?
Yeah. What was his name? What's his? Oh, Michael Myers.
Michael Myers.
Austin Powers. Austin Powers. Good job.
Thank you.
Sounded good.
I've always wanted to do that.
That was good.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get into today's show, I have to give the fans some news about Manfred West. I wished I would say he's on parole. It's coming up, though. It's coming up. No. This is some news that we found out during the, actually, I guess it was during the break. The past few months, Manfred found out some really exciting news, guys. He found out that he is the father of twin boys, Adam and Aaron, and we want to say hello to them. He's really excited, which is cool. You know?
Damn
anyway,
right.
Yeah, the boys always had a feeling that he was their dad, so they went ahead and decided to run a DNA test, and it turns out Manfred is their dad, which is cool.
It is. It's great. It's kind of like my niece and my nephew. You know, the DNA test is out pending still. You know, just... No, I'm serious. Just when I fucking thought I pulled out early... Right?
Oh.
Those kids, though, they look so much like me.
Mm. He's going to be here next show.
I know.
All right.
He's great.
All right.
He'd probably let me hit it.
Back to the guys. So the guys became fans of the show when we were doing the season about Manfred. And they reached out to us. Told us who they were. At first they didn't. They just reached out to us. Then gradually they told us who they were, and they still stay in contact with us. But they were nice enough to send some pictures, which I am showing on YouTube. That's something that you have to watch. YouTube. But anyway, the pictures I'm showing, the first one is really an old picture. It's Manfred when he was about 20. Great picture. He was a good-looking dude and dapper. He had that little hat on.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I told him. He loved it. He loved the fact that we... In fact, I sent him the picture. You can email him and send pictures with the email.
He's still nice-looking. I mean, for an old gouster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he liked it. He couldn't believe you guys had it, so that was cool. The second picture is a shot of Adam next to a picture of Manfred. And man, you can see the resemblance. Big time. if you're on YouTube. Right?
Yeah.
The next two pictures are of the guy's artwork. They both paint, and you can tell they're a chip off the old block. I mean, you do some good stuff. And I just wanted to thank you guys for reaching out, sharing that with us. You have a good father, a really good father that you can be proud of. And his parole is coming out, and we will help him in any way we can. We have to talk to Manfred and find out exactly how you go about doing that. But I already told him, he's got a lot of people in his corner. So let's hope that that he gets parole when he comes up. He deserves it.
Definitely.
Tony, you want to get into today's story? Because it should really be a great one.
Yes, but first I would like to mention, you know, we're in a small room and everything. You know what would be like the worst thing possible? If I like farted.
Whoa.
No, serious, like the, you know, one of those like wet farts, you know, like where you're not sure if it's going to mark up my underwear or not.
Come on.
It was like that. So we're sitting right in a cloud of shit.
No, you would be, because I'd be out the door.
No, but I need you. Come on. You're my sidekick.
Then you better not do that.
Okay.
Come on. Get up with the show here. Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I'm just thinking. I mean, we're in a small room, so just if one of us were to fart in it, it'd have nowhere to go. It would be like in a cloud, a shit cloud, right? All right.
Thank you.
Back to visiting.
Thank you.
A monster. Today, we're going to cover our second visit with Joe Matheny. We also have more videos to share that we made back in 2010. If you watch our YouTube channel. See, I'm saying it slow so you guys don't miss it. I just feel like it's not our fault, though. We push it out there.
Yeah.
Every week.
It's there.
It's there. You know, if you watch it, you will get to go under the bridge with us where he, Joe Matheny, murdered five people and tasted human flesh for the first time. You will see the Borderline Bar and Grill, where he hung out and hired prostitutes. That's a nice place.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
You will see the McDonald's where he picked up his last victim accidentally. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong fucking time.
A cheeseburger.
Right?
Yeah.
You know he was there a lot, though.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny.
And you will get to visit Joe Stein's Pallet Company, where he worked by day and killed by night. You will meet some of Tiny's old friends and hear what they had to say about him. Not fucking much. You will visit the location of Tiny's infamous open pit barbecue stand and find out if he really served human flesh to his customers. Guys, now if that doesn't get you to watch us on YouTube, well, fuck it, dude.
Over the line, Smokey. Mark it zero, dude.
I wasn't over the line, Walter.
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Should I tell them?
Yeah, tell them.
I should. Yeah.
It's a cult.
Exactly.
I love it.
It is a cult film, and me and my dad are part of that cult. We've watched that movie 15 times. It's been out a long, long time.
Yeah, at least.
Yes, so we can justify watching it 16 times.
Yeah. Tony's mom thinks we're nuts, but we are a little, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to have a fucking sense of humor to watch that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And appreciate it.
Yeah. Hell yes.
Uh-huh.
Over the line.
Back to the visit. Picture Joe and that 525-pound body laying on a half-inch thick mattress, counting not sheep, but small, round metal stools jumping over a white picket fence. That's pretty good, huh? Yeah,
that's really good.
Uh-huh. I like that.
I love it.
You know, I don't feel sorry for Joe because of the half-inch fucking mattress. I feel sorry for that fucking mattress.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So the first thing out of Joe's mouth, right, is, I'm cutting this visit short. My ass is sore. He says it's because of the stool. Uh-uh. We know why it's sore. Because Peanut has given it to him every day. That's just another day in the showers for Joe Matheny and Peanut. At this point, we want to tell him, right, to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
But we need information. We need information. So we get right into it. No small talk. I asked about the bridge where he killed the two bums. You know, we traveled across the fucking country to see this piece of shit. The least he can do is sit there and talk to us, stool or not.
Here we are, under a bridge. And this is where Matheny killed two bums with a hatchet. He cut their heads right about here, right through. And he said when he did one, the guy popped up and was like, and then died. There was blood everywhere, brains. He kissed the hatchet, hit the guy who was the other bum. He hit that guy at the same place, cut half of his head off, and that guy didn't get up. He died right away. And when I say get up, I just mean sit up and then die. It was all nerves. That's what Joe told us 3 days ago at his latest home, prison. He killed those two bums because they were talking about fucking his wife. And
I'll pan around here to show you that.
He didn't
mattress.
He obviously didn't think too much of that.
Here's a mattress where a guy sleeps on, right?
Yes.
Fire pit where they cook.
Yeah. This is the place.
I'll scan around a little. It's crazy shit down here. You can see shoes, probably hypodermics. Place where somebody can murder somebody and you wouldn't hear a word, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Don't they?
They're girl shoes. That's comforting.
Yeah. Shh.
It's just a terrible place, isn't it?
There's a shoe.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's discuss.
All right.
Let's discuss what you guys just
started. Let's discuss your acting because, my gosh, I forgot how good it was.
Pacino? Pacino good?
Absolutely. You're a mentor, right?
Fucking right.
You ought to call Al and tell him you want to mentor him. After that performance, fuck.
I could give him a couple tips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I like it.
You look pretty good under that bridge.
You think so?
Yeah. Hey.
You were teasing me about that years ago.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
And now, on YouTube, they all get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out, guys.
Got a monumental performance.
So this piece of shit, when Tony asked him about the bridge, we didn't know. He went to jail for the two that we described, that Tony described under the bridge. You know, when he...
The two homeless people.
I can't do the acting because you're really
because you're not Pacino. Yeah. But I'm Al Pacino. Al Pacino.
John Travolta.
John Travolta right. did that in a movie.
That's right. But anyway, back to Fat Joe. So he says, I went under the bridge. I killed these two bums like Tony talked about.
Please, homeless people, and, politically sorry, correct. Yeah, what the I'm fuck?
Sorry. Okay, homeless okay. people, yeah. So anyway, kill these two bums.
I'm turning over a new
And then he was in jail for 18 months for that. And he got out. He slipped through the fucking cracks. Yeah,
you got nothing, nothing on me.
Tony had asked him on a phone call, I think you guys remember, that how the hell did you get out? They didn't have enough evidence. So 18 months, fat ass walks out of the jail, right? And then he's telling us the story. He goes right to the Borderline Grill, and he gets a hooker, and he takes her under the bridge, and he does what he does, and then he kills her. He's getting pretty drunk now. He says he goes back to the Borderline. Mm-hmm. He gets another girl, same night, takes her under the bridge, kills her. Now he sees some poor guy, some poor innocent guy down there fishing. He was probably a homeless guy, but you know, he was fishing and he happened to see Matheny and he killed him too. He didn't want to take any chances, he told us. So he didn't want any evidence. So he killed this poor guy. Now he starts cutting these people up.
Exactly. Hold on, hold on. Yeah. And while he's cutting them up, he has a eureka moment. You know that word?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty big, isn't it?
It is.
You impressed?
Yeah, yeah I
You're
like
fucking
it.
Impressed, aren't you?
I love
you?
It. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fucking eureka moment. He's like, well, I got a fire here.
I'm kind of hungry.
I'm kind of hungry. So he decides to eat one of their arms. He takes one of the arms and he cooks it in the fire and he eats it. And he's like, wow, this tastes just like pork.
And he's telling us this in the jail, in the prison. We're sitting across from him. He's on his little stool. And he's telling us this, right, Tom?
Yeah, like it's no fucking big deal.
He was so calm that we thought, this is shock value, man. This is shock value. Then he finishes the story. He chopped them up into small pieces, and he dumped them into the river, which I guess there's a current that takes it out to the sea.
Yeah, kind of like Dexter.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
They never found him. They never found these three poor people that Tiny chopped up. Mm. So we thought he was just trying to shock us. I mean, we didn't think much of it, but it was true. Turned out to be true, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We looked into it. We did the due diligence. I love that. That makes me sound so fucking smart.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. When I say that, you know, like I'm going to do the due diligence on that.
Let's circle back. The Hollywood word.
The
right?
Hollywood word.
Yeah, we'll
yes.
circle back to that.
Say, we'll get back to you in like 6 weeks.
That's about
we'll
it.
We'll circle.
Okay. Now, remember, this is 2010, and we've already had a pretty productive trip. But what we really needed to find out is, did he really serve flesh in his sandwiches and create cannibals out of little kids and adults?
Yeah.
This is, you know, we had to find this out. So let's go, because he's been talking about it. You heard him on the phone when we first started this episode. He's been talking about, let's go all the way back to 2007. This is the first year that Tony started talking to Matheny. And here is a good example of what we're talking about when it comes to Joe bragging about feeding flesh to the public. And this is from a letter dated December 8th, 2007. Ho, 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 Tony. That's how it starts.
He's so warm, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. And he hated Christmas, remember?
Well, he worships the devil.
Yeah. Ho, 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 Tony. I need to correct you, buddy. Sunday was the day I had the stand open. The rest of the week, I was working my ass off. Friday night, I would go out in search of my special meat that I intended to use on Sunday. First, I would go down to my local watering hole. It was called the Borderline Bar and Grill. I used to get my paychecks cashed in there every Friday. No one in that bar ever had a clue of what a sick, twisted motherfucker I really was. I wouldn't tell no one of my secret recipe. There was quite a few people in that bar that would come to my stand on Sunday and get a sandwich and take it back down to the bar and eat it while they were enjoying a football or baseball game on TV. I shit you not, when I was working the stand, it took everything I had to keep a straight face. He thought this was real funny.
Mm-hmm.
So many times, I just wanted to bust out laughing while I'm watching these motherfuckers around me gorging on my sandwiches. The only time I would start to feel bad is when some of those people brought their kids there to eat my sandwiches. But these kids love those sandwiches, so fuck them. That's him.
Yeah.
Well, my man, I'm going to do something for you that I would never do for anyone else, and they have tried to get my recipe out of me many times. Now, remember, this is the first year Tony's talking to this monster. The way I would get my special meat and prepare it for my sandwiches goes like this. I would go out looking for a crack addict whore. These are the best, for no one seems to care about what happens to them anyway. I would approach one of these girls in the borderline that I didn't think looked too bad or were too damn disease
ridden. Hold on, like I said last week, the broads that are hanging out
in the borderline,
low rent.
Oh yeah,
you know. Yeah. I mean, sometimes though, I get like backed up, and I would maybe be.
Hey, let's get back to the letter.
Okay, maybe I would hire one.
Let's get back to the letter.
Okay,
back to the letter.
Like a threesome.
Four. I would approach one of these girls that didn't look too bad or didn't look too damn disease-ridden. For their meat, it doesn't really matter if she has anything or not, because once you throw the meat on the fire, and the fire will take care of any unwanted bacteria that may be left in the meat. I just didn't want a disease.
Hold on. That's it. Just throw her ass on the barbecue. Then you don't have to worry about safe sex anymore. You know, I just thought of that.
Especially if you're him.
If you're him. I mean, that's his like idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Back to the letter. I would take the girls back up to my little trailer. The company was located on a dead-end road, and you could scream your lungs out, and there was no one around to hear you except me. And I sure as hell didn't care about the screaming. In fact, it kind of turned me on. I tortured the hell out of those girls. They all died a very horrible death. But I always left the ones I was going to use for meat just barely clinging onto life. I did this so it was easier for my big, fat, fucking serial killer ass to drag the girls back there. Well, that actually wasn't in the letter, but you know what?
Yeah.
It fits this lazy, fat piece of fucking garbage. Ooh. He left them so they could walk, stumble a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So his fat ass didn't have to carry him, right?
Right.
Fucking pig.
I love it. That's the rant right there.
Fuck him.
I look forward to this rant every week.
This is tough.
It is tough.
It gets worse, guys. I'm sorry, but it does.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, they all died a very horrible death, but I left the ones I was going to use for me just barely clinging onto life. I did this so it was easier to take them back in the woods, then strip them of all their clothing and jewelry, and then finish them off. Now I would tie a rope around their ankles and string them upside down over this tree limb that I always used. Then I would place this 5-gallon plastic bucket under their head, and I would slit their throat from ear to ear and watch the blood drain out of her into that bucket.
That's tough.
Once all the blood was drained out of her, I would replace the bucket with a barrel lined with a trash bag. Then I would take my knife and cut her from the top of her cunt to her breast. I would reach inside of her and remove all of her lower and upper intestines and some other innards, which may cause tainting of the meat during its curing process. I would stuff salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would let it hang there for about 12 hours, airing out. Then I would start cleaning up and disposing of all the trash and waste. I would take the bucket and trash bag and drive it over to the river. I would look for a deserted spot and throw it in the river. The fish loved it.
Mm.
Anyways, about 12 to 15 hours later, I would go back up there where she was hanging with my hacksaw and start dismembering her. The only meat I used on the body was the back of the arms and legs. I'm sure there was plenty of other meats on her dead carcass I could have used, but I was somewhat on a time schedule. I only had from Friday night to Sunday morning to get all of this done.
Mm-hmm.
For obvious reasons, I had to work alone, but it had a few good points because I didn't have to share the sandwich money with anyone.
Like a businessman, he's on a time frame.
He makes me sick. I would cut the meat I was going to use and place it in a big bowl, wash it real well, and then place it back in the bowl and fill it with cold water and add about a cup of salt and red wine, and then let it marinate for about 3 to 4 hours. I would drain and wash it one more time and then place it on a board and rub it down with pepper and a little meat tenderizer. I would put it in this green Tupperware bowl and then take it out to the grill along with the beef and pork that I already had out there cooking. Then I would slip it in with the pork, and no one could ever tell the difference. They loved every fucking bit of it, and so did I. Ha, ha. I'm sure you'll get a lot of nice things for Christmas, buddy, but I don't think anybody's going to give you anything like this secret recipe that I just wrote down for you. This coming summer at one of those cookouts that you go to, try this recipe out on some of your friends. Merry Christmas. You take care out there. Hang tough and eat well. Joe Roy Matheny, a.k.a. Tiny.
Gosh, a Hollywood writer couldn't write that any better.
No. So I still remember when you got it. This is it, guys. This is it. This is the letter. And you see at the top, this sick fuck put a plate with a leg. And, you know, it's just, but this is it. Maybe we'll put it out for bid after the season is over with. It's just, it makes me sick. But anyway, that's the letter. Okay, bud. You're up.
Well, he says I should, take that to like a barbecue.
Yeah.
With some of my friends. Exactly. Yeah. Well, just like I'm going to hit up the fancy mortuary up the street so I could fuck a dead body.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The mentor.
Who?
Matheny.
Matheny, yeah.
Fuck him. I like saying his name wrong, too. He hated it.
You should say it wrong.
Fuck, I say it wrong every time. I like to do it. Uh-huh. I do it on purpose. Fuck him.
I didn't know you did that on purpose.
I do. Because he always used to bitch about people saying his name wrong, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Matheny.
Yeah, M-A-T-H-E-N-Y.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Glad he's gone. It's a better world. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little off track here.
Wow. Thanks, Dad. It's been a long time.
Tough.
It's been a long time since I've heard that letter.
That was tough.
And you know, it's as disgusting now as it was back in 2007. Now it's 2010. And I'm sitting across from this asshole, not this asshole.
Thank you.
Joe Matheny. The Coxman and me were sitting across the table from this asshole in 2010. You know, Joe, you've been bragging about this barbecue stand since we first started talking. Why can't we find a record of it? There are no licenses or permits. Did you really have an open pit barbecue stand? And did you really serve human flesh to your customers? Fat Joe, he leaned forward. He didn't lean that far forward because his stomach just kind of stopped him. So Fat Joe barely leaned forward, and with an unholy grin on his face, he says, "You can't find a record of it because the barbecue stand was on Joe Stein Pallet Company grounds, and I only opened it on Sundays." Do you like that?
That was good.
I know it excites you when I talk like him.
Yeah, it sounded like him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I served human flesh on my pork sandwiches. If you don't believe me, go there. I'm sure there are people there that still remember me. How could they not? They ate my sandwiches too. He loved that, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's why we thought he was full of shit all the time. And he may still very well be.
That's the only productive thing he did in his whole life, in his eyes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're still trying to find out, though. We don't know. Just because he says it. He says a lot of things.
You're right. We had no idea it was at the Pallet Company. But now it made sense why we couldn't find a record of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Honestly, none of us believed it was true. But now we had some solid information that we could check out. When you're listening to these next phone calls, please pay close. When you're listening to these next phone calls, please pay close attention to how Joe answered my question about cleaning up after himself. Then when you are watching the videos, you can use your imagination as to what went on Matheny's killing ground.
I want to know how you clean up after yourself. I mean, cause that was pretty messy, probably.
What, the body?
Yeah, because I'm
down in the woods there. Where I was killed. They was already dead, but I would take them out there and just tie a rope around their ankles, string them up on a tree, and I had a 5-gallon bucket I'd put underneath their head and slit their throat and let the body, the blood drain out.
So you would drain them?
Yeah, it's the same way as doing a deer or anything else. You let it drain and let it air out for about 20 just sliced the whole body straight down. The whole body, the stomach, all the intestines and everything else out of it.
And nobody knew this was going on. No friends, no girls, nothing.
Nobody had a clue.
This was like your own thing.
Yeah, it was it.
Did you have to tell them?
Huh?
Did you have to tell them where she was buried?
Yeah, I had to, because where all my victims are, I was out digging shallow graves.
And bury them.
And when you bury them down there, you always have a bag of lime. You know what lime is?
I do. It decomposes.
Yeah. Whenever you bury them, you open that bag of lime, and you put that all over the body, all around that hole. You put it underneath. You take something, you put it underneath or in the bottom of the thing, in the grave, before you put the body in. And then when you put the body in, you just put everything else all over the body and all over that.
Okay.
That kills the effect of everything, of the cadaver dogs can't tell it. Because when you cover it back up, when the body breaks down and starts decaying, when it rains, that's when all that starts coming to the surface, and that's how a cadaver dog can smell it. But when you put the lime there, it's undetectable.
It kills all the bacteria.
It takes away all the smell. Yeah, you're right. It kills bacteria and everything else.
Hey,
I learned that off of PBS. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You watch them old World War II movies, how Hitler had the mass graves. You ever seen all that white stuff that they had in them graves?
Yeah, was that lime?
It was lime.
Oh.
That's how they never, they still haven't found most of those mass graves over there.
This is the McDonald's right here where Joe Matheny picked up his last victim and took her 3 minutes from here to the pallet place where he worked and murdered her. And at the pallet place is where the cops found some of the bodies of his victims. As you can see, it's off of Washington and Hammonds.
Okay, there's Washington. I didn't know if I got it in. Yeah, so.
She was a hooker, hanging out here. She was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And a drug addict too, right?
And a drug addict.
Okay, so now we're gonna go to the pallet?
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
That's the news.
See ya. Thanks.
It's the Borderline Bar and Grill. It's about 3 blocks from the pallet company. And Matheny used to lure the crack whores out of this place to kill.
We unburied the mirror and took her back up front. What are you bidding?
No, come on.
You got to bury her there, figure out having sex with her, and then when you get ready to move, when you carry her up.
I live next to the guy, like I said, for almost 50
years. What do you have on digging?
I never figure or even think about
it. Was Joe there with the police?
Yeah, that's why he would do it, figure they let him out. He being his, was hunting his cigarettes, and you know, giving him the perks.
Yeah.
I was here. I get up on the building and watch. I was never involved.
So when you found out he was who he was, were you disappointed?
He was shocked. Yeah. Of course, I was younger too. I was more, you know, I was into a little bit of publicity. All these news people. Wow. It was scary.
Here somewhere?
Right there by that telephone pole. Halfway, we wanted to go back. Right on that hill is where he had her buried at.
Oh wow.
Man.
I don't know how far you want to go back. No problem.
That's awesome. Thanks.
That's where it was, huh?
He lived right out front where close to where we're standing at.
Okay.
He lived there and then next door. He stayed in the office over there for about a week.
Uh-huh.
And then we had this trailer. And what it was probably him. People were breaking in here, stealing nail guns and all that. He approached my dad. He's like, look, I ain't got a place to stay. How about I stay here to help eliminate some of this nonsense? That's how the whole thing came about. He was going to be like a night watchman.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what he wanted.
What's right on the other side there?
A yard.
Another yard.
Oh, okay.
It's a factory right up there.
Is there any water around here? or a stream or anything?
Nah, Tapscott River's down a little bit.
A little bit?
That river he was talking so much about.
He actually hung the girls up, he said, back here and drained their blood and sliced them up. That's where, because this is just the way he described it. Wow.
I'll tell you, he decapitated a couple people. And living next to the guy for 15 years, you would never...
You'd never think it.
Hello, everybody. Real quick, this is where it was. Joe Matheny. This is the land.
That's what he talked about.
This is what he talked about. Thank you very
much. We thought he was nuts, but I guess it was real.
Take over. We need to discuss this.
You really teed that up.
I did?
Yes.
You're fucking right. Great. I did. Fucking right. Right I did.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. And I hope all of you guys listened closely because your questions were just spot on. They were perfect. He describes cleaning up after he slaughtered these poor girls, and it was a consistent story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you kind of waffle on, did he really do it or is he just, you know, trying to pump up his ego?
Kind of like Haddon Clark. He's always consistent.
Always.
17 years of consistency.
Yeah, and you were talking to Joe a lot back mm-hmm. then, and he was always consistent. He wrote about it. He talked about it on the phone, as you just heard. And it was just how he described it. You know, it was an evil place, really an evil place.
Oh.
And then the other phone call, he mentioned putting lime and plastic into all the shallow graves that he dug for his bitches. Did you catch that, right?
Yeah.
Fucking asshole, man. Just. I'm sorry. I know it gets old, but it's just, you don't understand, you know, when you're diving deep into this, it gets to you. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
There's something wrong with you if it doesn't get to you.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So he mentioned the lime and the plastic and the shallow graves that he dug for his bitches when he talked of showing the graves to the police. He had to show them because the lime, the cadaver dogs couldn't find the graves. I'm not sure if you got that or not. But the video that we showed you last week of the grave of the little red-haired girl, we found a lot of plastic.
Yes.
A lot of plastic.
And a lot of stuff that
just didn't look like rocks, man.
Uh-uh.
So, anyway, those two phone calls. I hope you paid attention. And then the videos. They got to see the borderline grill. Now, we showed you the outside. We couldn't go walking in there with a camera. We wouldn't be sitting here right now if we did. Mm. Guaranteed. But we had a pretty good guide, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hold on one second.
Yeah.
The borderline.
Yes.
When I went in there, mm-hmm. you know, I saw a couple of hookers. And
yeah, you did.
And I went up to her and I offered her like, what, $200? I thought that was a fair price. And she's like, no, $15. And I'm like, no. Come on, girl, $150. We'll settle there. And she's like, no, $15. I'll make you holler. No.
$15, little man. Put that shit in my hand. Anyway, I think you know he's screwing around, but if you don't, he is.
I am.
But there were hookers in there.
Yes.
And you had to see this place, and you had to, you will see our guide. It was it was Joe's next door neighbor for 15 years. And
Row House.
Central Casting couldn't do a better job with this dude, right?
No.
If they were shooting a movie. But anyway, we didn't spend a whole lot of time in there. You know, we mentioned Joe Matheny. Nobody, I mean, there was like, you could have heard a pin drop in there. We were talking to the bartender. He didn't want to talk. Nobody wanted to talk.
Yeah.
We had to get Matheny's neighbor a pint of Jack Daniels. That's was our excuse to go in. But
that's not a lie.
No, it isn't.
In order for him to talk to us, we had to buy him a pint of Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. And he fucking carried it around everywhere he took us.
Oh, yeah.
He put it in the big, big gulp cup, I think they call it. Remember, yes. He poured the whole thing in there, and he put a little soda in there.
And he said, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I don't drink beer. I switched over to Jack Daniels.
I used to knock down a couple of cases of beer a day, right?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Him and Jim Morrison.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we got out of there pretty quickly. To say we weren't welcome is an understatement.
Oh.
Right?
Fuck, if eyes could kill,
yeah,
they were killing.
It was like the record stopped, you know, when we walked in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck like that. The Byron Airplane. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie, but remember when the fights and all the other shit that started?
People are being thrown out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then the Pallet Company, guys. It's exactly as Joe Matheny described it over the years. We went there, and you could feel it. And I'm not being dramatic, am I?
Mm-mm.
That area in the back that you saw, where he hung the girls up, it was evil. You could feel a presence back there that I never want to feel again. I mean, it was just, it was desolate, and it was just real spooky.
Because
I thought the bridge was spooky, but we knew what went on there.
We knew what went on there, and it was like, you got to put yourself in one of those women's shoes, and they could scream their loudest and no one's going to hear them.
Right. And he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
The more they screamed, the more he tortured them. It's just, and it was a perfect place to kill, guys. You could see that. I think you could see that on the video.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perfect place to kill.
So let's hear the question again that I asked Tiny so many times.
Did you really grind up flesh and serve it with the sandwiches like you wrote to me?
Yes, I did. I had real pork. I had real beef. And the human body tastes exactly like we were exactly identical to pork.
Okay. So it worked out okay.
Oh, hey, they were buying my sandwiches on a regular.
Where he used to have his barbecue.
He used to have his barbecue where? Right over there?
Right there, where that plywood is.
Nothing about.
So he did have the barbecue stand, huh?
The only thing I know.
He did. And everybody jokes about that still.
You want
to pit beef?
Yes.
You want to stand right over there?
Your left hand side. If you come down, look in that.
So now you believe it. I mean, that's where it was.
Yes. He said they made fun of him. But those son of a bitches loved my sandwiches. And I would sit there and watch them, eat them. But I always felt bad when the kids would eat the sandwiches. I didn't tell anybody about it. But this is where it was.
It's right here. Say hi.
I lived in the second house.
You actually knew him, huh?
He would rent.
What did you think?
WWF,
you didn't think?
No.
Video,
I didn't think you heard anybody.
Me, my brother, my
hurt
cousin.
My pot
we go.
He
to
what?
House
he
and,
hurt
my pot belly pig.
I mean,
he
did.
Yeah.
He didn't cook it, did he?
No. That's when he was still with Linda and his son David. He was still.
Because I owed him $5.
And, like I said, we sit over there, you know, drink beer.
Yeah, you do.
You know, yeah, we miss our dogs.
Where you guys actually from?
Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, all of his.
Do you believe that?
I mean, when
you
guys.
Did he tell you that?
You need to realize he was wearing a mask.
Right.
He said he fucking cut the people.
Yeah, no.
He cut the people off and ate the dude's arm.
I'm sorry.
Right down there, I knew something was wrong.
Now, we know that he wasn't lying. And this monster actually served human meat to his customers, including children. We talked at length with many people that had eaten there, and they confirmed it was true, but it made them sick thinking about it. And it was something, I know you could tell that they didn't really want to discuss it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One person actually remembers the green Tupperware box that Matheny said he kept the human meat in.
You know, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know the significance of the green box. I guess we could figure it out. But when I was reading that sick letter that he sent you way back in 2007,
mm-hmm.
and how he, his recipe and how he prepared it, he talked to the green Tupperware. So we brought that up, and sure enough, that was so he knew
mm-hmm.
where the human meat was, but no one else was supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But they found out later. And it just, the person that told us, they remembered the green box. They looked like they wanted to throw up, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I mean, the green box, we have a place here in Vegas called the Green Door. It's a swingers joint. That's different, though, than the green box.
What's it called?
The Green Door.
Never heard of it.
You know, it's either the Green Door or the Red Door.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's not important, though.
Mm-mm.
What's important is, let's take another quick look at the video.
Where he used to have his barbecue.
He used to have his barbecue where? Right over there?
Right there, where that plywood is.
Nothing about.
So he did have the barbecue stand, huh?
The only thing I know.
He did. And everybody jokes about that still. When we were pit beef.
Yes.
You want to stand right over there?
Your left hand side. If you come down, look in that.
So now you believe it. I mean, that's where it was.
Yes.
This proves without a doubt that Joe Roy Matheny, a.k.a. Diney, was the cannibal creator.
Without a doubt. Right?
Yes.
No question about it. Tony. Took us a while to figure that out, man.
Didn't what?
That, a lot of investigation.
And, a lot.
And we never thought about it. And mm-hmm. Never. I mean, we never believed it. And we kind of got sick, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Talking to the people. Just glad we never ate there. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're up.
Glad you didn't eat there.
Right?
Yeah. This is a video that I made in our hotel room. Back in 2010. Oh, come on. Get your heads out of the gutter. It's not that kind of video. I mean, I've been in those kind of videos, oh, but it's not that kind of video. This video sums up all the incredible information that we had discovered. It actually was on a Sunday when we went to Stein's Pallet Company, and even though it was closed, we got to meet people that actually knew Joe. Oh, it truly was divine intervention.
It was.
I believe God made our paths cross that day. It's funny how things happen sometimes. That you can't explain.
That's the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm listening to you. It was a Sunday. When was his stand open?
Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Never thought of it back then.
Yeah.
You know, until we found out. But that was great.
Thank you.
I agree with you 100%.
With the crossing paths.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no
Divine
question.
Divine intervention.
Yeah.
There was a lot of questions answered today. Like when we went to Joe Matheny's place of work, and we're very lucky. It was as if God sent these people to us to speak to us. I mean, it was a Sunday. They weren't working. I mean, the owner's son of the company was there. Another guy who happened to be a next door neighbor of Joe Matheny for many years. And a girl who also worked there, a desk job, who knew Joe Matheny back in the day.
we got to see where his barbecue stand was, and the people that worked there were nice enough to take us into the business grounds and show us where he slept, where he murdered, where he buried bodies, where he strung girls over trees and drained their life out of them and gutted them and packed them with salt to cure their meat. They showed us all of this stuff. So when you get somebody who writes you in prison and you don't really know this person from Adam, and he's telling you all these wild stories about eating people, burying girls, digging them up and fucking them and burying them again and digging them up and doing this over and over again. I mean, you kind of wonder, is this guy for real? And then you go and you meet people that knew him and worked with him and were there while he was murdering people, while the police force and the FBI stormed the place, found bodies. They're telling you all of this. It brings to life all of those letters. Really, really fantastic. Fantastic stuff that we found out today. And the barbecue stand. Tiny's barbecue. Just, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't believe him. But when we went there and we asked them if he really did have a barbecue stand, and they pointed it out, which we did get footage of, it was just amazing. This son of a bitch was feeding people human flesh, turning people into cannibals. Incredible. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap, everybody.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
I hope the people watched that. Now, you could hear it clearly. It's Tony back in 2010, and he did a great job of wrapping it up.
Mm.
So,
yeah, it's watch a great speech.
Watch it. That's all I can say.
It's off the cuff, too.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It really was.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had to say that,
though. Boy, I think I've aged pretty well, too.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, I lost about 30 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, everybody, that's a wrap for today. I hope you will join us next week when we wrap up the season on Joe Roy Matheny. Good, because I'm fucking sick and tired of talking about this asshole.
I hear you.
Aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. We'll have more interesting video featuring someone that knew Tiny very well.
Mm-hmm.
You won't want to miss this. Until then, take care, stay safe, and remember, always walk in the calm after the storm.
This is Joey Siaglia, and thank you for listening to Murder Phone. Hosted by my brother Tony Siaglia, the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, and his co-host, who also happens to be our father, Al Siaglia. For more information on the show, please visit murderphone.com, where you can ask questions, link to our social media accounts, and much, much more. If you'd like to help support the Murder Phone podcast, please go to our Buy Me a Coffee page and sign up for a membership package. You can access all kinds of cool, exclusive content that only official Murder Phoniacs can get. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, and an iTunes review would be much appreciated.
Well, leave one if you liked it, but if you didn't, fuck it.
Murder Phone was written and produced by Tony Siaglia and Al Siaglia and recorded at the Level 9 Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. A special thanks to our friend Justin Borrego for his editing magic. Join us next week for another exciting episode of Murder Phone.
Yeah, before we go, I want to give a huge shout out to all those living this life after brain injury. Our new normal, as so many call it. You are awesome. Keep going. I know I will. And to my listeners that know someone living with a brain injury or other mental health issues, please be kind. Be patient. And most of all, be understanding. Remember, they are doing the best they can.